Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Forever Single Mom. Yes, I'm your host, Madre Sotora Becky. Today's show is actually about a couple of different things. We're going to be talking to a special needs mama and also about a great special needs nonprofit organization based locally in San Clemente. But first up is actually a different type of organization. It's a wonderful nonprofit, and it is Orange County's only diaper bag. It's located in Orange County, California, and it's called Clear Charity. And on the line, please welcome Azaria and Dana from Clear Charity. Hello.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Nice to speak with you all.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. So go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about the organization and how did you guys get started?
Oh, that's a fun story. So, like you said, we're the Orange County Diaper Bank and Diaper Gap Program in the SoCal area. As far as we know, we are the only secular diaper bank that serves directly to the public. We currently are helping about 500 children, which is maybe, 50 families right now. And our reach is as far as San Bernardino, Oceanside, Riverside,
Burbank,
California. And also other states. I know we are currently assisting the North Carolina Health Department, providing them diapers. We got started in 2016 with this program when the White House issued a statement about this issue, this diaper gap, also known as a diaper loophole. What that means is that low-income families aren't necessarily able to take advantage of bulk buying or major discounts that you can get when you go to big box stores like a Costco or Sam's Club that middle-class and upper-class families can regularly get. So you can, you know, when you've seen those deals at Target, spend $120, get a $50 cash gift card, most people can't necessarily drop that kind of cash at once. So what we're doing is we're bringing those savings directly to the public. We're partnered with Jet.com, who provides us with wholesale diapers that we then turn around and sell wholesale to the public. If you are low-income verified, though, we do 50% off that wholesale price.
Wow, that is a great thing. How long have you guys been around now?
Our organization has been around since 2014, but we've been doing the diaper bank since, I believe, May of 2016. And we've grown three times since we opened.
Wow. Do you just do diapers, or is there other baby stuff involved?
Azaria?
Well, we actually sell formula, books, clothes, toys, shoes, blankets, wipes, basically almost anything you would need for your child, car seats, strollers, anything you would need for your child. We pretty much have a little bit of everything here, thanks to all the great people that donate to us.
We only purchase the diapers and wipes. Everything else is given to us through donations, which is how we fund purchasing more diapers and wipes for the families that come through our doors.
Okay, wow. I mean, that is such a great thing to have, and I definitely wish when I was raising little ones that I would have that, because I was a single mom, and I was also struggling, so I've been there. I totally understand. And it was interesting, when I was doing my research, I found out that 1 in 3 struggle to afford diapers. Have you seen that working in what you guys are doing now?
We have seen a variety of moms and dads that come through our doors, but most are low income. Most are spending when they hear what the prices are for our diapers, 50% off wholesale, some cry. It's a need in the community. We know that we are making an impact. We're trying to, go as strong as we can to reach as many people as we can. I've recently found out today we're being referred to by Medi-Cal to send parents here. Chalk Hospital sends parents here. St. Jude's, social services, WIC offices, because of what we're able to do here, how we can help families.
Wow. Okay, so the word is getting out. But I know things are kind of struggling right now. How could the public help you guys?
Currently, we are having a fundraising campaign on youcaring.com/saveocdiaper. We need to basically raise some we need some funding to help maintain our program. We need to get a larger, better office space to accommodate the volume that we are now holding. We used to only have to order 2,000 diapers a month. Now we have to stock on hand about 40,000 diapers at any given time because we get cleaned out pretty much every other week of just having to distribute. And like today we had our diaper hours and our shelves are virtually empty. We ran out of wipes. It was just crazy. So we need to be able to support housing more diapers, buying more diapers and wipes, things like that.
Okay. Besides the You Caring, how else can the public reach out and maybe touch base with you or even on Facebook? How would they be able to do that?
Please follow us on Facebook. We're clearcharity.org. If you want to go to our website, you can find us, find all our social media presence on our website because we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, Twitter. But you were asking what people can do besides going to the youcaring.com. You can host a diaper drive. You can reach out to people in your community, see if they're willing to become a monthly contributor to us. Any sort of individual efforts that can be share your story if you've ever come to a diaper bank, if you've ever been positively impacted by it. Tell people that this is a meaningful service that's provided to the community.
Yes, definitely. So I know when I started doing kind of the reach out for all the big brands and the news media, I wanted to give a shout out to Huggies. They actually were very accommodating, very open, and very, touched by the idea that you guys are doing this. And sadly, I felt like Pampers was not, you know, I kind of got the, I'm sorry, but we're overwhelmed at the moment. So I understand that, but it's interesting. People, you know, in Orange County think we're very rich and we don't need the help. Obviously, there is a low-income need. There's a lot of single parents. I know that myself because I am a single parent and I run a program called Single Parent Network. And so the need is definitely out there, and it seems like we just need to kind of break through that stereotype, I guess, is the best way to put it.
In Orange County alone, the low-income threshold is $80,000. That's ridiculous if you think about $80,000, that you're low-income. I mean, that's
amazing.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So that's OC specific, and I'm sure the threshold's different in other parts, but this is our home territory, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. Now, also, when I was doing some research on everything, came across there was two diaper bills that were recently vetoed. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, as I understand it, Governor Brown early this year, I forgot the exact timeline, there was a proposal put forth to make diapers be qualifying for food stamps because right now they're considered a luxury item, much like tampons, that they don't qualify. So the goal was to get them covered under that umbrella. As I understand, it was strike down. Another bill that I understood that came out was to just do a $50 monthly subsidy to just give that cash out, use it as you need to. Again, that was struck down. And the reasoning was the state's budget couldn't support it. So what does that sound like? That sounds like my budget depends on poor people not being able to afford things, that I'm going to tax diapers, I'm going to tax these other items to be able to cover my budget, and that's just a detriment, I think, to young families, to single-parent families, grandparents who are taking care of their grandchildren for whatever reason. When you have guardian situations that with that they come through our doors a lot, it's just not very fair when you think about it, and it's such a small thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something I guess we kind of take for granted, but I know being a single mom, and I was also a teenage mom, my first son I had at 16, there were times I had to choose between diapers or put gas in the car or diapers or food. I mean, so it's definitely not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Oh, wow. So, Azaria, tell me a little bit about what do you do at the diaper bank?
I'm actually the program manager. So what happened was I'm also obviously an admin for another nonprofit and found out about the diaper bank through them. And I originally came in because I had three, you know, kids in diapers, and I was using a size 6 diaper for my one-year-old and my newborn and my older son because I couldn't afford diapers. And I came in here and spoke to Jay and Dana and realized, you know what, this is huge. This can help so many people. And I actually turned around and started volunteering, hoping that other people would catch wind and want to come in and help as well, because I always, you know, no matter how little I have, I always try to give back in some way. So I started probably about the middle.
It's been almost a year.
Yeah, like towards the end of October, and I've been here since, and they haven't been able to get rid of me.
Not that we want to. Zaria is a savior. She is a workhorse. She's amazing. She can just reach out to people. She's helped us in so many ways, getting the word out about what we do and, you know, getting help for us. We couldn't do it without her.
Oh, that's very sweet. That's how you know, like, this is definitely a program that people care, and it sounds like you're a very welcoming, smiley person, Azaria. So that's amazing.
I haven't shared anybody else's door yet.
Aw. Oh, wow. Well, I know, Dana, you're one of the co-founders. Did you find it with your husband, or who is your business partner?
Yes, it's my husband's and my charity. To be very fair, it was his idea. This is my husband's passion. I had always wanted to do volunteer work, but he said, we should do this ourselves. We should give back to the community because we've been so blessed. Let's start this organization. Let's do it right, you know, see how far we can grow. And so he's definitely led the charge in terms of operations, in terms of marketing. He built our website from scratch. He's done all our PR. He worked so hard for this. I have to give him full props. And then I usually sit in the back doing the books, and Azaria does the front with the customer service and meeting with the people. And we're a team effort. We're a very small team. We had another volunteer who was another core member, but she recently went to go to UCLA. So while we are cheering for her success, we're also really sad to lose her.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know Azaria has a couple kids. Do you have some kids at home?
Yes, I have two little boys. My oldest is 3, turning 3 next week, and then I have an 8-week-old baby.
Oh, wow. So you definitely have your hands full.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember those days. Yes, exactly. As a mom, we definitely know that. Sadly, mine are almost grown. They're 11 and 23, so I'm past the diaper stage. But being a you know, somebody that gives back with the low income with my single parent group, I'm glad that you guys are out there. So is there an email that anybody could reach out to you, and if they had any ideas, if they wanted to set up a diaper drive, like how could they reach you by email?
Our email address is inquiry at clearcharity.org. Just, you know, you can ping us a message from there. You can also go to the website, clearcharity.org. There's a messaging feature to the website that you can ping questions. You can reach out to us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. All the handles are very similar of the clearcharity.org or variation thereof. And you can, so any means that you have available, you can, we're most likely there to be reached out from too.
Now, I see a lot of the Oh, very cool. Okay. That's what was my next question, actually, was I see in a lot of the mom groups that, you know, obviously we go through baby stuff pretty quick. And so if they wanted to donate any car seats or anything like that, is that the same way that they could get a hold of you, or could they just come by when you guys are open for diaper hours?
Well, we prefer to get some sort of advance notice, but you are definitely more than welcome to come into our office hours and drop off your donated goods. We just ask that they're in, you know, somewhat good condition, that, you know, not obviously not necessarily brand new, but if you would be willing to put your child into it, that's the kind of quality that we would hope that you would donate to us. Nothing damaged or something like that, you know?
That definitely. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the hours, well, how is the hours, and how when can they come by? Do they need an appointment? Can they just come? How does that work?
Well, basically, we were open every Tuesday, but we've had to kind of
reduce our hours
a little bit. So we're actually open the first and third Tuesday of every month from 3 to 6:30 p.m., that way, you know, our single moms or our single dads can make it after work if they have a job, or, you know, moms can just come after they get their older kiddos from school. No appointment needed if they're going to come in and apply. All we need is an ID and a WIC folder, and I would be more than happy to help anybody I can.
Okay, great. And what about if they don't have WIC, if they're on, say, cash aid or any of that, is that also an alternative to help to get some help?
Currently, unfortunately, we are restricted to WIC just for the time being. We can expand out again in the future. We're just so limited on the manpower here that we can only do so much. We can only verify so much. So that's why we had to restrict it to WIC for the time being. If we get bigger, if we can get more hands to help us, we can do more.
Okay, that sounds great. So as we wrap up, let's go ahead and give out the social media again so your listeners and my listeners can hopefully reach out to you. Go ahead and share that one more time.
Our website is clearcharity.org. We are present on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter as Clear Charity, except for Instagram, which is clearcharity.org. And again, our fundraising website is youcaring.com/saveocdiaper. Sorry, I had to plug it just one more time because we really do need some help.
Yes, definitely. And what I understand, was it last week that it was the Diaper Need Awareness Week, I guess it was called?
It was the last week of September. So I guess it was last week. Time travels differently when you're on maternity leave sometimes. So, yeah, last week was Diaper Need Awareness Week. So that was when we started our campaign to raise awareness about the diaper bank and that moms and dads, babies need our service, and so we need the community's help to keep going.
Yes, definitely. All right, ladies, well, thank you so much for joining us, and I will go ahead and put this out for you after we're done, and have a wonderful night, ladies.
You too. Have a good night. Thank you again so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. And next up is one of my special needs moms. And Nicole, are you on?
Yes.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. Okay, so tell me a little bit about you. Are you a single mom?
I have a boyfriend, but essentially I am a single mom because it's not the biological father.
Okay. Well, you have an interesting story about your little one. Go ahead and share that with the listeners.
Sorry?
I said you have an interesting story about your little one. Go ahead and share that with the listeners.
Well, I found out that he had a ventriculomegaly, which is spinal fluid on the brain. And then they told me that he had had a stroke while he was inside the womb, which I never knew could actually happen. So then when he was born, a month or so after he was born, he started having seizures. And they had to put a shunt in his head and drain the extra spinal fluid into his stomach, which lessened the seizures, but he still has them.
Was there any other side effects from the stroke?
Not really. I mean, he doesn't really use the right side of his body, so like, you know, his arm and leg, but it's more of like he doesn't really use his right hand very much, but he has therapy twice a week for that.
Okay, so he is going to physical therapy and occupational therapy now?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is he your only one?
No, I have an 8-year-old as well. And he has ADHD, but I mean, that is manageable. We did try medicine, but it made it worse. So I stopped the medicine, and he's getting a lot better since we changed schools, a new teacher, different kids around.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you definitely have your hands full with two little guys there. What are their names?
Yeah. Sebastian is my youngest. He just turned 1 in July, and Ethan is my oldest. He's 8.
Oh. Now, as a single, well, I mean, yes, you are a single mom, but, I mean, is the kids kind of your primary, I guess, responsibility? Are you the only one doing all the doctors and the therapy and school?
Yes.
Does that all fall onto you?
Yes. My oldest does see his dad every other weekend, and he's getting more involved in his life now. But my boyfriend works half an hour away, and he works 5 in the morning till 3:30 at night. So a lot of it is on me. But he takes all of the care, basically, of the financial.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's definitely a blessing. But I know how it is, like, when you're trying to balance, you know, doctors and therapy. I mean, right there, and that's a full-time job as it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so
oh,
we are
goodness.
Very blessed to be able to, we're staying with my parents right now. So that's a blessing as well because my mom helps as much as she can.
Oh, well, I think family support is definitely very important. So you're definitely lucky to have that. Good. Now, does he have any other things going on? Like, did it affect his eyesight, his hearing, anything like that?
He's got to wear glasses, but thankfully his hearing wasn't affected. But he does have to wear glasses, which is a challenge with a 1-year-old.
Yes. How do you make him stay on? Because, I mean, mine's 11 and it doesn't stay on.
I mean, they're not on 24/7. They should be, yes, but, I mean, you got to pick your battles, basically. most of the time, if his hands are busy, then they stay on. But
okay.
He doesn't like mine on either. He rips my glasses off, too, and I'm like, I need mine. So.
Oh, yeah, but he's still little. How old is he now?
He's 1.
Oh, yes. So is he off and running yet?
No, he doesn't walk yet. He doesn't. He's not, like, super verbal. He's at that stage where he's, like, he squeaks. He says, mama, dada, nana.
Aww.
He's just learning how to sit up almost by himself. but he hasn't started crawling yet. He doesn't really have an interest in crawling. He'll want to stand up, but we're working on it.
Okay.
He's got amazing therapists, so.
Which is great because, I mean, when you have special needs kiddos, it definitely takes a team to help them meet their milestones. And my kiddo, I was actually in a horrible car crash when I was pregnant with him, and I was T-boned, and the car door went into my belly and into his head. So he kind of has the same side effects. He has seizures. He has eyes, vision problems. He was very developmentally delayed for a long, long time. He didn't really start walking until almost 3 years old, and he actually was able to swim before he could walk. So so I definitely understand the struggles of trying to balance it all and raising special needs kiddos. So what do you feel is that other moms should, I don't know, I guess understand about our kids? Like, how, what would you like to bring awareness to about it?
Just like, you know, when they make awkward noises or, you know, they have their little tics. Like my son, he likes to clap somebody's hand or like pat his chest. Like not just to like stare or, you know, like try to teach their kids about special needs kids so that our kids don't feel, you know, even more awkward than they already do.
That is great. I love that advice because I think a lot of parents, I don't know, I don't want to say it's like taboo, but it's, you know, they don't, I think it's more they don't know how to approach it. So
yeah, like I wouldn't mind if, you know, if somebody asks me a legitimate question instead of like making and like a snide comment or something. You know, if you come and you ask me a question, I'm more than willing to explain it to you.
Which is fair. I like that. That some moms are not that open. And I feel like when we have special needs kiddos that we need to be able to say, like, hey, he's, you know, that's how he says hello. Or this is, you know, this is not a bad thing. Kind of. And I think
yeah.
I think society is still trying to catch up with the labeling of special needs. And special needs is such a broad spectrum that it
yeah.
could be from anything from autism to, like, my kiddo who had a trauma at birth to, you know, your kiddo with the trauma in utero. I mean, it's so broad, and I think, and I'm very happy that you're able to talk about it and hopefully bring some awareness about it. Now, how do you, or I should say, what is your hope for the kids for the future? Like, how do you, I guess, explain it to them, how that they're specially different?
I don't really know how I'm going to explain it to my son, but I know my aunt gives me a lot of advice because my cousin has, I don't know exactly the type of autism she has, but she has a couple different special needs, but I know autism is a big one of them. And she just tells my cousin, you know, God just made you a little more special, you know, than the other kids. So.
Okay. I like that.
I might, you know, try to tell my son that. My 8-year-old is, he's really good about it. He's really protective of his brother and, you know, tries to help him, and he wants to teach him how to walk and teach him all this stuff, but he doesn't know it takes time and patience, which I've learned a lot of patience with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, is your 8-year-old, is he in special needs classes, or does he have a 504 or IEP? Do you get any help from the school?
I talked to his teacher, you know, when I first registered him. He doesn't exactly have an IEP, but I did tell her this was his struggles last year, and they have, like, wobbly chairs and, like, a little corner of the room if you need to just, you know, go and refocus yourself for a moment. So that's
okay.
What I love about most teachers are good like that.
Huh, I like that. That's very cool. I know with my kiddo, they kind of want to wrap him in a bubble wrap. he's been always kind of that kid that, like, he was never able to run the jogathon because he had asthma. He had a lung collapse. He had, they were always just kind of, I don't want to say overprotective, but I wish the school system would be more understanding of it. And I think that hopefully, you know, there's teachers out there that, you know, that are just graduating and getting that kind of education to understand that not all students are the same. And I mean, I'm especially with autism, you know, on the rise right now, that I think if you're going to be a teacher, it definitely needs to be, I don't want to say a class, but it's something that they need to understand with the special needs community, that our kiddos just need a little extra. So
yeah.
What do you do when the kiddos are not there or not keeping you busy? What keeps you busy?
I don't even know. Like, I really don't have that much time to myself. When I do have a moment alone, I just try to shower, get my stuff, any housework that needs to get done, and try to read, but it doesn't always happen. Most of it's just on my phone now.
Oh, yeah.
It's just possible.
I totally understand that. I think for, like, the first 3 years, I didn't sleep. My house always just looked like a tornado. It's just a different life and a different, it keeps you going and keeps you busy. Did you go through any, I guess a postpartum depression after everything with the delivery and the kiddo and maybe complications, it sounds like?
Yeah. A little bit I did, and a lot of it had to do with the breakup with his biological dad, because we split when I was around between 6 and 7 months, like right before I found out there was an issue with him. So a lot of that, like, he's never met his biological dad, which is fine with me now. So that had a lot to do with it, and then I was like, you know, my boyfriend was there, but I still kind of felt like I was by myself. But everything is getting a lot better now.
Oh, good. And I think it's, you know, with family support, and it sounds like you have a great guy that, you know, kind of takes it all, you know, who took on 2 kids, and, I mean, that's a special guy that can do that.
Yeah.
Now, what about, what advice would you give to other moms out there that, I don't know about you, but, like, after the car crash, that I did go through a bad postpartum depression, and I felt almost like it was my fault. Like, oh, my God, I did this. And,
yeah, that felt like, too, because,
yeah.
You know, we didn't have a great relationship, me and his biological dad, and like right before we broke up, it was just really stressful, and I felt like maybe because I was stressed out that caused his stroke, even though they told me that's not what it was. You still feel like it's your fault because they're inside you.
Yes. Yes. And as a mom, we feel like, you know, those are our babies. Like, we die protecting our babies. Like,
yeah.
So how did you get over your postpartum depression about all that?
It really takes somebody to talk to, and really like any mom groups that I'm on Facebook. And my aunt, even though she lives in Arizona, she's a registered nurse, and she's been through a whole bunch too. And then, you know, you just really do need family support or someone that you trust that you can talk to and, you know, make you feel like you're not going crazy. That's what I really leaned on. And I don't know about everyone else, but I prayed a lot, and I still do all the time.
Yeah, faith is definitely a big sometimes you just have to kind of give it over to a bigger entity out there, you know, whether you believe in God or anything else out there that, you know, sometimes it's just bigger than us. You have to be able to get that strength. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm sorry, I dropped my book. So do you see you getting married anytime soon or settling down?
Yes, we have talked about marriage a lot, which I was fully against at first, because when I first started talking to my guy, I wasn't even looking for a relationship. Really, it's a funny story that my son's biological dad cheated on me with my guy's at the time wife. And I got a hold of him because I wanted to let him know the kind of guy that his children were going to be around.
Yeah.
And so that's how we started talking. And one thing led to another. And my sister was like, you know, I'm going out with this guy, and I know you're depressed. Why don't you come out? And I was like, I don't want to be a third wheel. And she was like, well, why don't you see if that one guy wants to hang out? He's probably, you know, sitting at home bored too. So that's when it all happened.
Well, that is an interesting story. It's one of those when to tell the kids stories, huh?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That is too funny. So, even though, you know, it sounds like you're a pretty committed relationship, what advice would you give out to other single moms out there?
Just honestly, with all this, like, craziness going on, make sure, like, you really know the person, you know the guy or girl, whichever, before you bring your kids around, because you hear all these stories of guys, you know, beating other people's kids or anything else bad that happens. You really got to know the person before you, and make sure it's going to be serious so you're not bringing random people in and out of your kids' life.
That's great advice. Especially, I mean, it seems like a lot of young moms and some of it in the moms groups that, I mean, of course we don't want to be alone, but you can't introduce every guy that comes through to your kids. And, I mean, I agree with that advice. That is great advice. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you on social media, how can they get a hold of you?
You can look me up on Facebook, Nicole Hutchinson. That's really the only social media I have besides Snapchat. I really don't have time for much else, but you send me a request or a message on Facebook, I will respond to you as soon as I can.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I know your little one wasn't feeling too good tonight, so I want to make sure you get back to them as quick as possible. Well, have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. So, while we're waiting for the third guest, Jody Lieberman-Powell, she runs a wonderful program down in San Clemente. It's called Special Fishies. And she works with a nonprofit. It's actually a nonprofit swim school. And she does a lot of the special needs swim classes, beach days. There's also what's called a boo cruise that's going to happen in a couple weeks. Her social media is www.littlefishieswimschool.com. And the picture that I had of her was with a wonderful student that her name was Brooke, and unfortunately she passed. So I'm waiting to hopefully get to hear the story about that. But what I liked about Jody's story was that with my kiddo, he could swim before he could walk. And I feel like water is the biggest equalizer. So what she does for these kids in the pool and also in the ocean is such a great thing. So please check her out. As I said, she's local, and you can find her on Facebook for Special Fishies. And she's based out of San Clemente, California. And so, and well, as many of you guys know, that we had this horrible incident in Las Vegas, and unfortunately, one of my patients actually got shot. And so, what I know as a nurse is that we are definitely looking for blood, that if you feel that you cannot contribute to the many GoFundMes for that tragedy, the best way to contribute is to go ahead and donate blood. So, wow, well, look at the time. It sure has flown by. It's almost time to say goodbye. So I would like to thank all of our sponsors, listeners, and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, hearting us on all social media at Sage Mentoring. And then until next week, hug those babies. They grow too fast. Own your choice. And in love and light, good night.